Welcome to Boston's Best, a podcast where you go behind the scenes with financial planner Mark Condon as he asks industry-leading experts in and around Boston to talk about their businesses. Mark will find out what sets these companies apart from their competition and how they have risen above the inevitable challenges they have faced along the way to their ultimate success. And now, here's your host, Mark Condon.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to episode 95 of Boston's Best, brought to you by Condon Productions. The goal of this podcast is to highlight businesses in and around Boston. My guest on today's podcast is Gardy Derulo. Gardy is the owner and managing partner of Craft Food Halls, a new way to dine, hang out, and enjoy. They're the ultimate attractor. It's more than just food. It's an experience like no other. Their tagline is love, energy, food. They opened the doors in October of 2019 and already have five total locations. Gardy tells us that he's been in the hospitality business his whole life, starting with the Cheesecake Factory as a teenager. The employees don't need to like everyone, they need to love everyone. And they show that through and through. It's difficult not to be positive when you walk into these locations and the energy they bring. The Waltham location is 9,000 square feet. They have a private event space, a ping pong table, shuffleboard courts, and air hockey tables. This is a place you're going to walk into and hang out all day. In this episode, we talk in depth about how they go about their menu and the flavor profile in everything they make. One process they use is sous vide. It is a temperature-controlled cooking. The food is in a vacuum-sealed, food-safe bag that locks in all those flavors, and you don't lose those flavors. Not like when you put them on a grill and see the flavors dripping off the food. And be sure to listen to the end, as Gardy shares the advice he'd give someone looking to start their own business, what he would tell his 18-year-old self, and how he defines success in any given year. And so, with that introduction, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Boston's Best. Good morning. This week, we have Gardy Derulo. Gardy is the owner and managing partner at Craft Food Halls. How you doing, man?
I'm amazing, man. How are you?
I'm doing awesome, man. Excited to have you guys on here. Like we were saying before we started recording, met you through Andrea, who I met at an event that I threw for the podcast. So it's nice to see how that's transitioned into having you guys on the podcast and just promoting you guys. Like I had said, I'd never heard of Craft Food Halls beforehand. So personally, I'm interested in learning it about myself as well as help promoting it. So excited to get into it.
Oh, you're a blessing, man. Thank you for this platform.
Absolutely. So before we get into Craft Food Halls, give us a little background on yourself. Did you grow up in Massachusetts? Like, what's your story?
No, it's been a blessing to be a resident of Massachusetts, born in Brighton, moved around, ended up in Brockton, Massachusetts.
Okay.
And you know, it was a blessing to go to that high school because, you know, our graduating class was like 999 people.
Yeah, it's a big school.
You got full social experience there. And that contributed to starting, you know, my past with a major restaurant company, Cheesecake Factory. They took me under their wing, and that's what really gave me all the knowledge, a lot of the knowledge necessary to progress through this.
Nice.
And so that, you know, that was in high school, man. You know, it was really, really nice. Got to meet wonderful people, wonderful mentors, and then kind of started from there. Fast forward, you know, I moved to Germany, did a whole software thing. Wanted to understand, you know, the world a little bit better. Came back because, you know, it wasn't what exactly I wanted. Yeah. The software world was fun, but my passion is in hospitality.
Okay.
Came back, did a few stints at a couple of other restaurant, you know, concepts, just to get my feet wet. And thankfully, you know, because I live by a particular set of rules, and one of the rules is 100% be nice to everybody you meet.
Yeah.
You know, 100%. And lo and behold, because of that, a mutual friend of my current business partner and myself linked us up and was like, yo, this is what you need to do. And it was like magic. I met my business partner, and we didn't even talk about our past. We talked about relationships and people and real love.
Yeah.
It was just fireworks, and we decided to keep going.
That's awesome, man. So I grew up in Stoughton. So you went to Brockton. Like, I grew up in Stoughton. I lived in Easton for 12 years. My father and his entire side went to Brockton High. I think he said he had like, I think it was like over 1,100 people in his graduating class. Like, I think my entire high school was that many people. Yeah. Like, I think we had 250 in my graduating class. So like times four, that's 1,000 people in an entire high school. You guys had that in a class. Like, that's wild.
So you were a Black Knight?
Yeah. Stoughton Black Knights. Yeah. Yep. We, in high school, we thought we were cool. Like, Stoughton, like, you drop the S, it says, we we tried a little too hard, but we called it Tough Town. Tough Town USA. We dropped the S, it spells out Tough Tin, but we, I don't know. I had that bumper sticker, Tough Town USA, tell your friends. Going back 20 years, but yeah. So I'm right around the corner. I know Brockton very well. And then my wife, when I met her, she lived in Brighton. So she was right off of Washington Street, around the corner from Jim's Deli.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a good spot. Road. Brighton's a really good area.
Oh, great area. Great area.
Yeah. That's cool, man. So give us a little background. Like, what is Craft Food Halls, I guess? Like, let's just get into everything you guys do, like what you're all about, you know, the fireworks between yourself and your other partner. Like, let's get into it a bit.
So Craft Food Halls is the ultimate attractor. That's our business model. That's what we believe in. So our company policy is you don't have to like anyone. You have to love everyone. With that understanding, that means that you don't have to want to share a beer with me, bro. You know, you have different thoughts. You might like a different sports team than I do. So we have nothing to talk about. But at the end of the day, whatever happens, we're going to support each other in the times of need. And in the business culture, that means that we all have each other's backs and we have all a role to play and our job to fulfill. And we do everything to the best of our ability to make sure that everyone is taken care of. What that means in practical terms, we pay 100% of health insurance, dental insurance, vision insurance. We have a 401k plan in place. We don't match currently because we need to get out of COVID first. And from day one, we have unlimited vacation as well.
Wow.
So from the dishwasher up, you know, to upper management. Yeah. And that foundation is to show that we want everyone to think of people first. And so when you walk in as a guest, you feel that love.
Yeah.
You feel that energy and you feel the passion for food. So our tag is love, energy, food.
Okay.
So the love is the foundation, right?
Yeah.
Where everything gets connected. You feel that. The energy is always positive. You walk in, the music is slightly too loud, right? give you that bass, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Feel that you can step in one area of the food hall or in another area of the food hall and still feel happy and feel like you're discovering things or making up your own experience, right?
Yeah.
We're not a traditional sit-down restaurant. You don't have servers and things like that. So you can have a birthday party of 25 people randomly walk in, take a corner of the restaurant to yourself, you know?
Got it. Okay.
Right? So that's the energy part. The food part, man, is crazy. So sous vide. Are you familiar with the sous vide technique?
No. What's that?
Sous vide is time and temperature controlled cooking.
Okay.
It is precision cooking. It is extraordinary. So what you do is you vacuum seal. So that means you take something and you put it into a vacuum sealed bag. You remove the oxygen out of it. You throw in all of the spices you want and everything like that. And you don't lose the spices, right? Because normally in contact cooking, you're putting it on a grill. You see the fats dripping off, the flavor is coming off, right? Your flames are coming up.
Yeah.
Same thing in the saute pan. You put it in and that Maillard effect is happening. So you're cooking through and you're losing the juices. Yeah. That's why you see a lot of chefs have to spoon the flavor back on and everything like that, right? But in a sous vide bag, you don't need to do any of that. And it stays at the precise temperature that you left it, right?
Okay.
So it can never cook over. It's on point cooking, right?
Yeah.
So we use that technique for all of our proteins, our vegetables, our grains, and it's just bold flavors. And it's a process that's really meant for a 3-star type of level, but we make it accessible to everyone. And so we're the first one that put it in the forefront in the United States.
Wow.
It's okay, pretty dope.
So sous vide, how do you spell that?
SOUSVIDIE.
Wow. Okay. All right. Okay. That's pretty damn cool. So why don't a lot of restaurants do that? Like, is it difficult to do?
It's not difficult to do. It's difficult to understand the health implications, the health and safety implications. So the regulatory bodies, so health departments, they have a requirement to make sure that everyone who's dining in public areas are safe.
Yeah.
If you don't know a particular technology and if you're not managing the vacuum pack, because again, you're sitting in a particular temperature. If you fluctuate the temperature incorrectly, food illness can happen.
Yeah.
Foodborne illness can happen. And so you have to have a particular plan, a food safety plan, well thought out before you can do anything like that. And most health departments, they weren't allowing it because a lot of restaurants didn't have that. They were like, you know, we can sous vide, but no problem without having a plan for it. We partnered with someone and wrote a plan for it.
Got it. Okay. So what are the bags made out of? Like, it's not obviously like plastic. Like, is it tin foil? Like, what is it?
No, it's food safe plastic. It's a food grade plastic.
Got it. Okay. That's pretty cool. I've never experienced anything like that before. So that's a completely different spin on
oh man, the burgers come out extraordinary. You know, the chicken, we make these sous vide chicken wings that they're not fried, right? They're baked because they're cooked in the sous vide, have a wonderful texture, and then they're finished off in the oven. Extraordinary stuff, right? Okay. That's what we use as the foundation of our kitchens.
Yep.
But we are a food hall. Food hall implies that there are vendors, other vendors, okay? Just like a food court.
Yep.
But we own all of the food hall, all of the vendors in the food hall.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. So we have three mother concepts and three master concepts. One of them is sous videerie that we named after the sous vide cooking style. Yeah. Another is our Project X Street Pizza. Our street pizza, man, is wild. It's grilled and float seared. It's a double biga dough, which just means it has two strands of sourdough. And it's co-fermented for quite a while, 72 hours to be precise. Wow. And it has quite a bit of ingredients. It's just extraordinary. My business partner has been working on that dough for 25 years, and he won the world pizza competition.
What?
Beat the Italians, everybody, beat everyone, the whole world in Vegas.
Wow.
Crazy stuff, right?
Yeah.
So that's the basis of our other concept, Project X, because that dough is so light, airy, it's crispy. I mean, it's just extraordinary. Okay?
Wow.
So we also have the best Crave Crust, we call them Crave Crust sandwiches you'll ever find. Yeah. You know, we'll have wings in that project as well. And then our third concept is Vessel. Vessel is like Sweetgreen's on steroids.
Okay.
We focus on gut health, right? And I can't even tell you how bold the flavors are.
Okay.
So the gut health piece of it, we focus on Ayurveda cooking. Okay. Now Ayurveda comes from where yoga comes from.
Okay.
Okay. So same people. They were thinking about how the stomach lining reacts to certain foods that you eat.
Yeah.
Right? Understanding when to eat hot foods, when to eat cold foods, what you need in your body to reduce inflammation and things like that. Okay?
Okay.
Now, that's all laced in our dressings and everything.
Yeah.
Now, the functional medicine side is taking the modern side and putting these things that you're finding in health shops right into the food as well.
Got it.
Okay? So bioprepping is an example of that, you know, understanding what turmeric actually does, when to apply it, how to activate kale, for example. Kale has to be massaged before actually ingesting it, for example, because you will unlock all of its potential if you don't massage it first, right? So we do that in that third concept. And then out of those three mother concepts, there are other concepts that are born. For example, our slow bowl concept is a ramen concept, right? You know, we have our star taco concept, which is a taco concept out of this world. Again, sous vide proteins. Yeah. I mean, it's just nuts. We just have a good time. So you see all the passion we have behind our food. That's why our tag is love, energy, food.
I love
it. With all of that said, sir, all of that, our attraction formula focuses on what the space can do. So we have our events. So we do drive-in movies, right?
Really?
We do concerts. Our last concert was an all-woman band, all-woman concert, 10 bands, all women-owned bands, you know, right? We have this crazy beer garden called Garden 76, right? Where you're hanging out outside, you know, there are fire pits, there are games. It's just a blessing, man. It's just having a good old time. We have live music, you know, 2-3 times a week in our locations.
Wow.
It's crazy.
This place sounds awesome. Like, I'm embarrassed to say I hadn't heard of you guys before. Andrea, how long have you guys been around?
So our actual open to the public. So we have two divisions of the company. One division is for executive parks only, right? So if you work at Google, Yahoo, and they have a cafeteria, we would be the food hall, right? So it opens at 6 a.m., closes at 5 p.m., you know? But these locations, the first one that you would have been able to go to was open in October of 2019.
Okay.
Okay. Then the second one was open October of 2020.
Okay.
So that's Waltham, Massachusetts, and Lexington, Massachusetts.
Okay. Okay. I was in Waltham like last week. Next time my wife and I go to Waltham, I'm going to have to pop by. Absolutely. What are your typical hours?
11 to 11 is a typical hours. You know, okay. Sometimes midnight, you know, depends.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Dude, that sounds awesome. Actually, I'm surprised. Like I said, I'm embarrassed. I had never heard of it before. It sounds like a really cool concept. Sounds like you guys have a lot of stuff going on there. How'd you come up with the name? Like, I know like the food halls, you know, but craft food halls there. Was there any back and forth on how to come up with it or?
Yeah. So my business partner was, you know, you've heard of craft everything. It's craft beer and things like that.
Yeah.
But craft hasn't been taken in the proper concept, you know, a craft, something that someone is great at.
Yeah.
Right. In German, the word for job is calling. What is your calling?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Which is extraordinary. So it gives you the perspective of, wow, I was called to do this.
Yeah, I like that.
Right? I was crafted to do this.
Yeah.
With this understanding and knowledge, I craft something to change the world. And that's what Craft Food Hall is doing. Our goal is to get to 1,000 locations, right?
Wow.
We're going to blow it out of the water because, you know, one of our concepts, you can see it right behind me, is our pour your own beer wall, right? So it's an RFID card. Yeah, you just put it right in and then you start pouring your life away, right? It's tied to your credit card. It's pretty dope, right?
Yeah.
And so we're looking for innovation, innovative ideas, you know, progressive ideas to keep pushing the envelope on how to make people excited about being in these spaces.
Yeah.
Escapism is one of our number one goals. You walk in and subconsciously, you don't even know why, but you're so happy. You're excited. People are high-fiving you and hugging you, and you can come right to the bag, pour your own beer, and enjoy your experience and just have, you know, play ping pong. We have ping pong, we have shuffleboard, air hockey, all these things, or bubble hockey. It's just meant for you to escape. And that's the craft factor. Yeah. That's the craft thought process. Is you're crafted to do this. This is what you're called to do, and you're putting out craft level work, man.
Dude, that just sounds like a fun atmosphere. It sounds like a Sunday afternoon. Like, this is the type of spot that you go to. You go there, you bring your family, you get the music going, you know, pour your own drinks, play some ping pong, some shuffleboard. That sounds awesome, man. That sounds like a really good afternoon. When you started, because it's, you know, so it's been 2.5 years now, right? What were some of the early successes that you experienced when you guys first opened? What were some of the challenges that you had trying to get this off the ground?
Earlier successes was that we were the place to be right in the beginning, right? Pre-pandemic, man, everybody came here. There were lines outside the door coming out into the street. It was wild.
Wow.
Okay. But with that came structural issues, right?
Yeah.
We projected, we did all of the math. We were like, yes, we're going to hit these numbers and this is the amount of staff we needed. Man, we underestimated the amount of staff we needed. We underestimated, you know?
Underestimated. That's a good problem to have, right?
Yeah. Yes. No, it is. And then you got to go find them.
Yeah.
And then just like any other business, you know, you think you have rules, sets of policies and procedures in place. And then you realize certain things aren't done the way that you thought it would be done. The space doesn't operate exactly how you would want to. So you have to switch some things around. Just basic, you know, those are the basic restaurant life problems, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, okay, so the toaster should go here. Nope. Now it should go here.
Okay. Yeah. So how big of a space are the two locations?
So the one in Waltham where I'm sitting in right now is 9,000 square feet.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, man. Because we have, you know, we have a back room for all types of events, man. We've become known for the bar mitzvah place. We're the, like, all bar mitzvahs. Yes, sir. All bar mitzvahs. Like, we're scheduled out, booked out for bar mitzvahs.
No way.
You know? That's so awesome. The back of the space, there's a private event area as well where there's a drop-down screen, projector. You can do it in a classroom format, or you can just wild out and, you know, do your 30th birthday party and just rock out. You know?
No kidding. That's awesome. That's awesome. So 9,000 square feet in Waltham. What about the Lexington location?
5,200 square feet, that one. But that one is designed a little bit differently. It's designed more like a ski lodge. So it's a post and beam structure. It's just a sexy location. You know?
Sexy location.
Yes, sir. It has garage doors that come all the way up. 9 of them. So it expands what the footprint actually looks like because you're out in the patio automatically, you know?
Yeah.
It's a different vibe. It's sitting right on the bike path. So people are skateboarding, rollerblading, running, biking. And then they come, they lose all the calories on the bike path and then gain them back in the restaurant.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, they break even, you know?
Yeah,
they break even.
That's a good day, you know? neutral in the cows in, cows out piece. Do you have a personal favorite food that you guys make?
See, it's hard. So I'm all about flavor profiles and flavor balances. If I were to choose one go-to, it would be our Route 66 vessel salad.
Okay.
You don't typically think that a salad has this bold flavors, but it's extraordinary. Our cilantro dressing, it's infused with, you know, like I was talking about, the Ayurveda side of things. So it has turmeric in it. And it's just extraordinary. And then the chipotle chicken that sits right on top, black beans, you know, some crunchiness from the plantains. It's just absolutely extraordinary.
That's the one go-to.
Our shrimp tacos would be second place. Again, bold flavor, that texture of the shrimp because it's sous vide.
Okay.
Like, you have no idea what's going on. And then I would just say probably this Papa Sausage pizza. Again, that crust is light, airy, just extraordinary the way that it just melts in your mouth. And then you don't feel heavy afterwards.
Okay. Yeah. So those will be a few things we got to try out when we pop out of there. Like, I was expecting you to say the burger or something. Like, I was not expecting like a salad to be the first thing. You know what I mean? Because, like, yeah, it's a salad. Yeah. But like, you guys,
I'm a big boy. Different. You know, I like to eat. But that salad is epic.
That's okay. Good to know. We'll have to check that out. So how have you guys got, you know, you're still young in infancy, right? You're only, you know, not even 3 years old. Like, how have you guys gone about marketing yourselves initially out of the gate? Like, is it mainly social media? Is it just events, like word of mouth? Like, what have you found to be like a good or bad use of marketing?
I appreciate that thought process because a lot of restaurants don't focus on marketing at all.
Yeah.
And so it's not really traditional the way that we do it, but I'll dive into it a little bit. The first thing was to get operations solid. Before we did any form of marketing, though, we did the traditional, you got to have a website, you know, you got to have points of contact. So you're going to have your Instagram up, your Facebook up, but we didn't engage until later when we were established.
Yeah.
So what we wanted to establish is our culture, making sure that at least our team members were excited to talk about us.
Yeah.
Right. So once that happened, we were really ready to communicate to guests and kind of build up our following that way. We have a whole marketing department. So our marketing department comprises of, you know, head of marketing. We have a photographer on staff.
Yep.
And then we have contributors on our catering department that help with marketing our events and such like that.
Okay.
All right. And so we have full activation on our social media now, Instagram, you know, we're obviously automatically on Facebook. Yeah. We're working hard on the background of things too, on the search engine optimization, because, you know, our resident graphic designer, who's part of the marketing team as well, is handling all the back end for our website and our SEO.
Got it.
And so we have a full squad doing guerrilla marketing. Our GMs, our restaurant leaders, our food hall leaders, they go out and make friends with other leaders, right? So they go meet hotel leaders and, you know, go find out who's out in the community. So there's a lot of different marketing techniques used to ensure that we have full coverage.
Yeah. I mean, and you kind of got to be a little bit of everywhere at this point, this day and age, right? Whether it's Instagram, yes, Facebook, Twitter, like whatever it is, you got to have at least some sort of a presence on every single platform. And yes, you're right. Like, I don't think a lot of like restaurant industries take advantage of the social media aspect, but social media is just, it's blown up. Like, you have to be on there. If you have anything that you're either trying to sell or get people to come to you, like, you have to be on there. You just have to be active.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Going back to COVID, you had mentioned COVID earlier, like, you opened in October of 2019. So like 4 or 5 months later, you got COVID, right? Like, obviously there was an
impact. I didn't get it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. COVID happened. COVID happened. So like, how much, maybe it's an understatement, but like, how much of an impact did it have on you? Especially being a really new, like a new company where you need people to come in person. Like,
yeah,
it must have been, it's an understatement of how much of an impact it had on you, I bet.
So I'll just tell you, you know, like I told you, I came from Cheesecake and I went through the recession in 2008 and learned a lot from them and how you mitigate this type of economic downturn. Nobody could have planned for COVID.
Yeah.
But it was a good foundation to react appropriately. So we did a couple of things. We pivoted. Remember that line I was talking about that stretched out because we had cashiers. Yeah. We got rid of cashiers. We went all digital.
Okay.
That was huge in changing the way that guests interact with us and having their own experience.
Yeah.
COVID did wonders in progressing our thinking.
Yeah.
You know, so it gave us also an opportunity to reset. Remember in the beginning when I told you the toaster was in the wrong area, policies and procedures were not all up. well, we had an opportunity to fix all that.
Yeah.
We had a lot of times in our hands to establish policies and procedures and functionalities and come up with an actual game plan of how we're going to grow this business.
Yeah.
And that's where the hashtag 1000 came out of because, you know, we figured out our niche enough to know that we can get to 1000 locations.
Yeah.
COVID did wonders for the health of our company because it also made us take a look at our financial dependencies and financial obligations. And we just became leaner, meaner, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, like it's interesting that, you know, your episode 95, right? So like it's been interesting to see how many different people and businesses, small or large, pivoted due to COVID and how many benefited. Like COVID is an animal on its own, like whatever, but how many businesses benefited because they were forced to pivot and do things in a different way, maybe a more, like you said, leaner and meaner, like a more efficient way. Were you having your customers pour their own beers before COVID?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I didn't know if you got rid of like service entirely and people, like, ah, you're going to go cook your own, you got to go cook your own salads and pour your own beers out. We got COVID. So I wasn't sure. That's a cool feature though. That's a really cool feature. Be like, oh, I want to go grab this. Like I'll go up and pour myself a beer. I don't have to like, you know, that's pretty cool. No, I don't know any places that do that outside of like, you know, like 7-Elevens where you like pour yourself like a Sprite or something, you know, like a big gulp, but that's pretty cool. So 1000 locations, do you put like 1 year, 5 year, 10 year, like do you put a timeline on when you want to hit that? You know, what does that look like? Cause you're at 2 right now. So.
No, I'm actually at 5.
Oh shoot. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
5.
Yeah.
Shit.
So,
okay.
When I explained that, you know, my company is split into 2 divisions.
Oh, right. Yeah,
so I have the retail division and I have this amenity division, as we call it, that focuses on amenity parks. But 5 locations, my goal is to get to 351 locations by 2031.
Got it. Okay.
So that would be my barometer to the 1000 to understand what the time frame is. Because at that time, you'll be able to figure out, you know, you're opening around 40 a year with that pace. And so... Or, you know, trying to line them all up to see if we can achieve that, you know?
I love it. How do you go about figuring out which towns or cities to, like right now, are you mainly and only in Massachusetts? Are you obviously looking to expand it outside of Massachusetts, I imagine?
Yes, sir. We have some conversations and right now, anyway, so that 351 number is calculating, you know, you have 50 states, you want one in every state, you know, Alaska, even Alaska, you know, they have some okay weather sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you know, but even Alaska and you're saying, okay, spread out through all 50 states, you know, market saturation is at about 300. And so, you know, you get a 300, 350, see if we can dominate the world that way.
Yeah.
With that said, you know, you're looking at the development plan to see what you can line up during that time period.
Yeah.
You know, so we have 351 stateside and then the rest of them will go international.
Okay, got it. So why 351? Is there a reason behind that? You've mentioned it multiple times. I thought I misheard you the first time, but you've mentioned it like 3 times. So why 351?
So, you know, that one, I think if you, you know, if you do the math real quick, you have 350.
Yeah.
Right? If you do 350 divided by 49 states, you have about seven locations per state.
Yeah.
Seven, you know, hopefully you get to 7. Maybe a 7.5 if you're doing a part-time location, right? So yeah. 7 location per state, and then Alaska is that one.
Got it. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Okay. Good to know. Are there any misconceptions about what it is you guys do when people show up or, you know, reach out to inquire about coming by?
No. You know, going back to your question about, you know, what we do and how it's perceived what we're doing, we can go anywhere.
Yeah.
Literally anywhere. Because we're an attractor. We work with landlords to make sure that people are attracted to their areas.
Yeah.
You know? So it doesn't matter where we are, as long as there's a target audience and we're trying to make sure people are happy. Right. It's amazing the program that we're coming up with. You know, we trademark a lot of words because we're thinking about how to impact people. So gentrification is one of our words. And that's just the art of consciously and subconsciously helping you come through this program of happiness. You know, Mondays you go to work and you're like, it's Monday. But what if you come into one of our spaces, projected Bob Marley concert on the wall, you know, using our projection mapping, right? Yeah. And you're hearing your favorite songs, and the smells coming through the hallways are extraordinary. We're doing this for executive parks, hotels. You know, we're doing it for breweries because breweries typically don't have a food component,
right,
or an events component, really. And so it doesn't matter where we are. We just want to be the attractor for all of these things.
That's cool, man. That's really cool. Like, last few questions before we wrap this up, because I'm always like, you work a ton, right? So clearly, one thing I was curious about with entrepreneurs and business owners, like, do you ever picture yourself 100% completely retiring and sailing off into sunset? Yeah, I didn't think so.
No, that's not God's plan, man. I mean, we're meant to be out there and contributing. We're contributors, right?
Yeah.
And so we contribute to the entire goal. But you know, we have projects that supersede what I'm doing right now.
Okay.
Right. So the projects that I want to get to is, I want to show the restaurant industry, as well as many other industries that I'm going to get into, that you can be loving.
Yeah.
You can have that foundation of love. So we can walk to other brands and just take them over and say, hey, let's start over. Let's start again on the culture piece. And just, because we deal with a lot of broken people.
Yeah.
Let's give them a safe haven. You know, let's teach them financial education, personal and business.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and pay attention to the way that they feel at work that will impact the way they feel outside of work.
Yeah.
And totally. So that's why my personal work will never be done.
Yeah.
There's an underlying message there.
I love that, man. That's awesome. That's really cool to hear. Because you're right. You do deal with a lot of broken people. A lot of people dread going into Mondays. But if you, like, your energy alone, like, you're always smiling, like, your energy alone is attractive, right? And people show up to a place like you, what you guys are doing, whether it's work or, you know, for me as a customer, like, it's fun to be there. And it just, like, brings enlightenment and happiness, you know, throughout the day, which I think is, especially with everything going on right now, I think people need a lot more of. So I think that's awesome.
You're a blessing, sir. Thank you.
You are. So outside of work, what are some of the, I know you work a ton, but do you have any hobbies that you personally enjoy, places you like to travel to, anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, traveling is always fun, you know, but no, I do a lot of work in my church.
Okay.
I do a lot of mentorships as well. For different organizations. I mean, you know, Santander is one of the organizations I work with in, you know, new upcoming businesses. So if you have anywhere between $5,000 and $10,000 in revenue and you're trying to understand what to do to fix costs and, you know, to grow at all, then they'll send these potential business people to me and we'll start talking through this mentorship program, how to help them along the way.
That's cool.
So, you know, I do things like that. You know, I love being available to change people's mindsets because programming is just a reaction.
Yeah.
But when you change people's mindset, they have a lot more potential to make things a lot better instead of relying on programming. Because also a program requires a person to push that programming through.
Yep.
Whereas a mindset, everybody's doing the right thing.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm mindset's huge. Like, I'm the last, call it like 3 years. Like, I read constantly. I read a ton of books, and almost every other book I read is just on mindset and just like, you know, focusing and like, is everybody, you think in pictures, right? So the more positive thoughts you think, the more, like, the stronger that vision comes, it happens within you that you see the positive in a lot of other opportunities versus looking at challenges. Like, you see the opportunities, and it's just mindset's everything. Like, I'm huge on the mental health and the mindset right now. So I that's pretty cool to hear what you're doing. So for somebody who's looking to start their own business, right? Like, you like the mentorship. What would be the first piece of advice you'd give someone who's looking to start their own business, any business?
Find a mentor. Yeah. Find somebody that you can bounce ideas off of, somebody that you respect, that can understand what you want to do, that you can talk through your goals. Because critical thinking is such an uncommon thing right now, because this culture is teaching a lot about automatic satisfaction.
Yeah.
Just real quick, get everything and do everything.
Yep.
But it's not like that. You have to research. You have to take the time to know. Depth of knowledge is a beautiful thing. When you know a little bit about this and then you get in a rabbit hole about that topic, it's a beautiful thing when you know, right? And so get a mentor to help you do that. Ask these questions that you really didn't consider, because the moment that I ask a question and then you're like, well, I didn't think of that, then my job is complete.
Right. Yeah, sure. 100%. Yeah.
You know, so that's the very, very, very first thing.
Yeah.
And And people also, you know, they worry about confidentiality. They worry about not being able to communicate. You got to throw all that away. You have to be able to find someone. It is easier than you think. Find someone that's willing to listen. It might take 1,000 phone calls, but you'll find someone.
Yeah. And honestly, man, like with people, if you're looking for a mentor, if you start in your own business, somebody else who has started their own business, gone through like challenges, like they want to help. Like they genuinely like passing on like everything that they've acquired, all the information, good, bad experiences that they've gone through starting their own business. Like they want to help. Like they genuinely want to help people get through something that they had experience with too. Like I totally think that's a great answer. Last couple of questions before we wrap it up. The first of which is, if you could tell your 18-year-old self one thing, what would you tell him?
Facts don't equal truth.
Okay.
You could be faced with a bunch of facts.
Yep.
But that's not technically the truth.
Yep.
Right? And I think that's what's going to keep things bright. The fact is, it's raining right now, but it's not always going to be raining. So the truth is, you know, the truth is that there's going to be some bright spots, no matter if you're living in Seattle or not.
Yeah.
You know? Don't look at it as the things that are right in front of your face, because typically the things closer to your face are the things that deserve more attention. But the moment that you take a step back, you'll start seeing the bigger picture. And my 18-year-old self did not know anything about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, that's a fantastic answer. No one's ever said anything like that. I think that's a great answer, because also like when you're 18, like you just, it's life experience, right? Like you just don't have a whole bunch of life experience at that point. I remember graduating high school. I was like, oh, I'm the man. Like, I'm on top of the world. Like, I'm an adult. It's like, I'm 38 now. Like, that was 20 years ago. Like, I knew nothing at that point. Like, literally nothing. Like, you know? But you just don't know. You don't know until life experience happens and you get older, you know? So that's a fantastic answer. That's the first time anyone's ever said anything like that. So I like that.
Well, thank you, sir.
So last question, Guardy, before we wrap it up is, everyone has a varying depiction of what success looks like to them, right? So how do you define success?
When my immediate circles, so circles are a funny thing, right? So you have your nucleus family, you have your work family, success to me is when I can affect multiple ecosystems, right? My immediate circle is my immediate ecosystem. So I can reach and touch my uncle, reach and touch my father, tell them, you know, my thoughts and my hopes, my wishes and prayers on them, and have really limited effects on them because they're grown, they're old, you know, they have their thoughts.
Yeah.
But when I sit on the Chamber of Commerce, for example, I sit on the boards for Lexington and Waltham, and I'm listening to these conversations about things, and I'm able to inject my thought process based on my successes, then the ecosystem changes a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. Then you start influencing positively when we're worried about, for example, falling back into mask mandate situation, right? Which is a real conversation right now.
Yeah.
But when you're taking the whole picture and you're talking about, well, aren't we in a position right now to just be able to promote positivity? Yeah. Let's take that route. And then they decide to do that. And all of a sudden, you know, indirectly, you're affecting suicide rates. You're affecting the way that schools operate. You're affecting, you know, this is your immediate ecosystem.
Yeah.
And I think that's what success looks like to me. When you start engaging positivity, injecting positivity into your immediate ecosystem. So how I would like to do that, obviously, I'm going to have financial success as we continue to grow. So strategically placing funds in places that is progressing, right? That is designed to help people think better and to do better, to be healthier. That's what success will ultimately look like for me. And that's why your original question of, you know, retiring, that's not a real thing, because there's always going to be a lot to do. You know, you can't solve all the problems of the world, but you can solve a lot in your personal ecosystem.
Guardy, that's a tremendous answer. I thank you very much for coming on Boss's Best, chatting about craft food halls and just your outlook on everything. It's incredibly positive and uplifting. Like, it's been a real pleasure chatting with you. So I appreciate the time.
You're a blessing, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Gary. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, everyone. I just wanted to say thank you for checking out my podcast. I really do appreciate the love I've received for this show. I believe now more than ever, any exposure to local businesses is great for them to receive, and I'm trying to do my part. If you are a local business owner or someone you know in the Boston area that would like to be featured on the podcast, please email me at bostonsbestpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode, please follow this podcast. It's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. You can also find us on Instagram with the handle @Boston's Best_podcast, as well as Facebook at facebook.com/Boston's Best podcast. Again, I truly appreciate the great feedback for this show, and stay tuned for each new episode every Friday at 8 a.m. Take care.